Let us turn to James chapter 5. I'd like to read a few verses. James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That's an impressive passage to me. Elijah is a very impressive character in Scripture. I've always enjoyed the parts of Scripture that he has given an account of himself as a prophet of the Lord and the things that he did. But prayer is the subject I'd like to consider for these few minutes together. I am reminded from things that I have read about prayer that prayer is one of those, the writer said, selfish areas of a Christian life. Most prayer focuses on our own needs. That's not very complimentary, but I think it's pretty accurate. I know that we do tell people very often, I'll pray for you, and then we don't. Maybe one time, and then we forget it until somebody else reminds us, you just went home to be with the Lord. Oh. The writer that I was reading this time on prayer introduced some thoughts that I thought were good, and they can help us in our prayer life, I believe. He declared that most Christians, their prayer life is a one-dimensional thing. We spend more time in our prayer calling on the Lord to help me. Help me. But too often, we don't call on the Lord very often to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to call you up and talk to you. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and what you've done for me. Don't want anything, Lord. I don't need anything. I've got everything I need. You provided my ever need. I just want to tell you I love you. And I enjoy fellowship and communion with you and the Lord's people. I say with the psalmist, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. You know, when I was thinking about this, I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't just about fit most of us. But if we want a true relationship with God to grow and flourish, I think we'll have to make it a two-dimensional thing. I think about kids when they go to school. You know, we haven't heard from him for quite a while. And then one day the phone rings, and could you help me? I need some money. Always, you know, calling up and saying, I done run out of money. I need some help. More than likely, that kind of calls will far outnumber any call home to just say, Dad, Mom, I just wanted to find out how you were doing and say hello, tell you how much I love you. Well, you know, you can carry that over into your spiritual life, and that's about the way we deal with the Lord, isn't it? Prayer doesn't really come to mind until we have a crisis. Something's got to happen. It's out of the ordinary before we think about saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It appears that the disciples of the Lord wanted to learn how to pray. They seemed to believe that they were missing the mark, and teach us how to pray. I think we could all learn some things that would improve our whole concept of what prayer is all about. It is calling upon the Lord. He has provided us with that means. Call upon me is something we find in Scripture. Call upon me. Come unto me. We're invited over and over to call and to come and to spend time with the Lord. It helps develop Christian character to spend time with Him. When we are involved in those things that the Lord is involved with, and we're seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're heading in the right direction. I'm convinced of that. I don't know if any of you have had any contact with the ministry of navigators, but they do a good work, especially among young people that are in school. And they have some very valuable ministry that they send out from time to time. And I've been in contact with them and have supported them over a long time. The kind of prayer format that we had here regarding people giving out a request, and then as soon as we hear it, we go to prayer. That's something that I witnessed in one of the meetings in which Navigators was conducting, and it was along the lines of how to improve your prayer life. And one of the things that I remember, and I looked into this one, and it is a good one, is that they do have a formula for prayer. And I had written it down, and I've kept it, and I've used it, and I've never found a flaw in it. And tonight, as we look at it, the first thing that comes to mind that they mention is confession. Confession. That tells me that something might be wrong that would hinder our prayers if we didn't confess something. We've all discovered we're not perfect. I can't say we are perfect in Christ. Found in Him, not a blemish upon us. But now we're talking about the soulish experience and that life in the flesh. And we have to sadly confess, Lord, it sure isn't perfect. It's not perfect. And what does he do? He gives us scripture that says this. I want you, when you sin. Now, they're sad to say there's some people that believe that once we get saved, all your sins are forgiven and you don't sin. Well, that's wrong. That is not true. It's not true. Scripture says when you sin, if you sin, we have a place that we can go and something we can do that is well pleasing to the Lord. We confess our sin. Not to be saved. We're already saved. We're safe. You know, sometimes we're embarrassed and we think about it, and I don't know, I think most of us have. We've done things that we were ashamed of. I'm glad nobody else knows about this. I know about it, and the Lord knows about it, but nobody else knows. I have sinned. I am not perfect, and the Scripture didn't have to tell me that. I know that. I have sinned. But God has said, when you do that, confess it and forsake it. And I'm faithful and just, and I will forgive you of your sin. Restore you to a place of fellowship, not relationship. You know, He is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children, and we do sin. So not one person can go around saying, well, not me. I don't sin. If he does, I pity him because he's been fooled by the God of this world into believing that he has something that he don't have, and that is immunity from sin. Sin is something that's very active in the life of most believers. Most of us sin a lot more than other people know that we sin. Sins of commission, sins of omission. There's a lot of sin in the life of God's people. The sad part is that they won't come and confess their sin and allow the Lord to forgive them of their sin, restore unto them the joy of his salvation. David went through that experience. Don't be so proud. Don't reach some point that Satan would convince you, well, it wasn't that important. Nobody knows about it but you and the Lord. Well, tell him about it. You don't go around broadcasting that I just committed sin today. If I did, you won't know about it, more than likely. But he knows about it. And man, that ought to be like a burning arrow in my soul. I sinned today against God, and he knows about it. Why in the world would I hesitate to get that thing fixed right quick and say, Lord, I have sinned, and get it over with? But do you realize how much of that excessive baggage of not having confessed their sin is carried around by God's people? I tell you, brother and sister, every one of us has been guilty of it. Well, I'll do it. I'll take care of it later. Take care of it right now. Because if you like I am, I forget things. If we sin, confess our sin, forsake our sin, and enjoy communion and fellowship with the Lord, our relationship with Him is restored. And now I can come to the Lord and I say, Lord, I just called you up. I wanted to tell you how wonderful this salvation is that you gave to me. And I'm enjoying it. And I'm so happy in the Lord. Things are happening in my life. But I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Well, one of the other things in this particular pattern that is given to us by the navigators was the idea of petitions. What do we consider to be important enough to carry it to the Lord? Time won't permit, but we could turn to an account in Scripture that I love to read, and that's about Hannah in 1 Samuel. You know, she was childish, childless. She wasn't a childless person. She just didn't have any children. And she was sad about it because she wanted a child. What did she want that child for? She wanted to give it to the Lord. She wanted to dedicate it to the Lord. God knows. Isn't that wonderful? Give me something that I can give back to you. Isn't that wonderful? You give to me this blessing that I'm asking for. I'm crying out to you, Lord. And she did. And you know, the old boy over in the temple, Eli, he thought she was drunk. And she was weeping, she was sobbing, and thinking about how awful it was that she didn't have a child that she could give back to the Lord. But you know, the Lord heard her cry, and He gave Hannah a child. And she gave it back to the Lord. And she thanked God for that gift of that child that she could give back to the Lord. And Samuel was a great one, a prophet. And he served the Lord. And Hannah is remembered because her petition was one that indeed it was right in tune with the mind and the will of the Lord. It wasn't anything selfish about it. It wasn't anything that she was going to derive any special pleasure from. But the Lord would receive glory and honor from this life that He had entrusted her with. Then there's intercession. I looked at two passages of Scripture, and both of them are found in Ephesians. The first one that I looked at in connection with this, intercession, was found in chapter 6. And it is important. You know, from time to time someone has asked me to pray for them, and I did. And I would call them up and tell them, you know, you ask for prayer, and I'm praying. I've been praying for you. I've been interceding for you. We have a great intercessor at the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in that exalted place, and He's interceding on our behalf. You know, if Satan came before the throne of God, and he made some charge against dear old Bob. He said, you know, he is a sorry rascal. He sins and people don't know about it, and he does a lot of other things that are bad. Do you know about it? The Lord Jesus Christ would say, away with you. He belongs to me. He's one of mine. I'll take care of him. And he intercedes on our behalf before the throne of God. Before the throne of God, I have an advocate. I have someone that indeed is there on my behalf. Verses 18 and 19 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Indeed, this is a remarkable passage to even think about. But that's not the one that that's the next passage I wanted to read, but this one says, praying always, this is in the sixth chapter, in verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying for all the saints. You know, I have found that for some people it's easy to pray. And I find out it's because I like that person. And that person, I'm in harmony with what they like to do and I like to do. And we have so much in common, I don't have any problem praying for them. But there's some of the saints I have trouble praying for. I don't particularly like their lifestyle. I don't like the things that they do. I can find fault with them, which I should not do. Paul says in this particular verse, all the saints. What right do you have or I have to exercise any kind of prejudice toward anybody for what they're doing? I pray for them. The Spirit of God certainly didn't plant that in my mind and heart, not to pray for someone. You see, this becomes very important. Being an intercessor, man, you've got to have an open mind. You've got to be spiritual-minded to really be able to pray for somebody. Someone could be praying for somebody and be prejudiced toward them. Well, if he answers my prayer and if they get relief, good. But you're not excited about it like you would if it was a dear friend or someone that you treasured their relationship. You see, that sounds like it's a little mean. Didn't you know you were mean? Didn't you know you had sometimes bad thoughts and bad attitudes toward things? Didn't you know that? Well, we need to find that out and discover that there are so many things sometimes hidden back in the recesses of our minds and hearts. And from time to time, we ought to do some house cleaning. Get rid of all this stuff that hinders. Think of all of the different denominational groups. And they're Christians. They're believers just like we are. They're saints. They have the same relationship with God that you do and I do. But we treat them differently, don't we? We might even say, he's a... And when we say that, we don't say it complimentary, in a complimentary way. Well, he may be far more spiritual than you are, or I am. You need to sometimes check up and find exactly where you stand so you can be a strong intercessor. No prejudice in your heart or soul. Then there's thanksgiving. That's the passage that I was reading there in Ephesians chapter 5. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving. Well, I thought prayer was calling upon the Lord and asking Him for things, having Him to do things for us, deliver me out of this crisis. Deliver me out of this dilemma I'm in. Don't you know how much I'm suffering? I just called the Lord up and said, thank you, Lord. What would the Lord might have been surprised. You just called me up to thank me? It's the first time I've heard from you in a long time. Saying thank you. You finally found out how important that is to me. To hear you open up your heart and your mind and get rid of all that other stuff. That one-dimensional relationship. You actually called me up and said, I appreciate it. You know, if there's one thing Assembly Fellowship has that is the biggest plus for me, is the Lord's Supper every Sunday, remembering the Lord. Because I don't ever show up here until I've gotten down on my knees and said, Lord, I have sinned. I examine myself. And sometimes I'm ashamed of what comes to my mind that I've done. And I confess it. Because he tells me in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear me. You remember that? Sometimes when you've got stuff in your mind and heart and soul and you haven't confessed it and you're calling up the Lord, he don't hear you, brother, sister. He won't listen when that kind of stuff's going on. I will not hear you when you have taken sin lightly in your life. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, I will not hear you. Turn to Psalm 146. This was a psalm that was given. And this particular psalm was singled out. And I'd just like to read maybe a couple of verses. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Prayer is a soulish endeavor. It's a spiritual exercise of the heart. But it does something to you. It brings a quietness and a peace into your soul when you have that confidence that you called upon the Lord and He heard me and He answered my prayers. And I'm just coming back to say thank you. Remember the 10 lepers? One came back and said, thank you, Lord. He said, where are the other 9? If there's one thing we seem to forget sometimes, it's all of the good things that the Lord does for us. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have being. As long as I'm breathing. May God give me mind enough to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You've been good to me. And nobody knows about it like I know about it, how good He's been to me. Do you tell Him sometimes how much you thank Him for what He's done for you? You and Him, you know more than anybody else what He's done for you. And do you have a heart filled with praise and worship and thanksgiving to Him? Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.